Well, the offer still stands. Webster's Dictionary says that an offer is a proposal to be either accepted or rejected. On the cross, an offer was made. 3 days later, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus defeated death forever. Amen. Forever. And an offer was made. Let's read about it. Open your Bibles to the 20th chapter of John. If you're here this morning and you'd like to borrow a Bible, if you'll raise your hands, one of our handsome ushers will rush a Bible your way. Even the ones that aren't so handsome will rush Bibles your way. Oh, wait a minute. This is the third service. We just have the handsome guys on this crew. I haven't used that line at all this morning. John chapter 20. Let's read about the resurrection. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Who was that disciple?
John.
You better get that one right. That's what we're studying right now. John is the author here. It goes on and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. So John's bragging on his track skills a little bit. John gets there before Peter. What does he do in verse 5? "And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in." So here's John outside the empty tomb, and he's looking in. And he's in harm's way because in verse number 6, "Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb." I don't think Simon Peter even slowed down. He probably shoved John aside and went right on in because nothing was going to stop Peter from being close to his Lord. He'd already walked on water once, right? Same guy. He wants to be with his Lord. In verse number 7, "And the handkerchief that had been there around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself." Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, he's still bragging, "went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know, they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes." But Mary stayed. So here she is in verse 11. "Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus." Why do you suppose that is? For some reason, she didn't recognize Jesus. We were debating this before the service, us in the choir, because we had nothing else to do between services. Was it because Jesus had been beaten beyond recognition, and he stood before her really unrecognizable from the whipping and the scourging and the thorns? Or could it be that that was the last vision that she had of him, and that's what she was expecting to see? For whatever reason, she's talking to Jesus and she doesn't recognize him. And Jesus said to her in verse 15, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she supposed him to be the gardener. And she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And then Jesus said to her in a voice that she would recognize, "Mary." And then she recognized him and she turned and she said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. A lot of important things in that verse. Number one is, when Jesus rose from the dead, he wasn't a ghost. They believed in ghosts in these days. Do you remember when Jesus came walking to them on the water? What did these brave fishermen say? Ah, it's a ghost! This was no ghost. This was the body of Jesus Christ. And him in it, resurrected from the dead. He even says to her, don't cling to me yet, because I have not yet ascended to my Father, your Father, my God, and your God. Why did he say that? In another one of the Gospels, when he greets Mary, he says, rejoice. Why? Because Jesus is telling her, Mary, do you realize what's happened? Look, don't cling to me. I have to go to the Father. But look, I'm alive. I've risen from the dead. No longer is death our biggest enemy. Now it's doubt. Death is handled. Mary, I'm here to tell you, your Father and my Father, your God and my God has defeated death. Praise the Lord. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Very good. Beloved, do you understand? This changes everything. And only Christianity teaches a resurrected Lord. So the offer is being made. Specifically, what is the Lord offering me? He's offering you life. He's offering you life. You know, this world will offer you 70 or 80 years of life. And then the Bible says we die and then the judgment. So that's not the kind of life that I'm talking about. Have you noticed that everything that we have in this life is getting worse? Have any of you bought an automobile recently and 5 years later it was running the best that it had ever run ever? I guess not. It's not so at my house, and I've tried them all. I've tried the Chevy, I've tried the Ford, I've tried the Dodge. And a few years later, I'm down at Chuck Jr.'s shop getting it fixed. My own youthful young body falling apart. I had to go in and have my knee fixed the other day. Get all done with the surgery and the doc comes in. How you doing? I'm doing great. He says, not really. We noticed a lot more damage in there once we got the camera inside your knee. Oh, great. Thanks, doc. What do I owe you for that great news, you know? Yeah, we'll probably have to go back in and fix it when you get a little older, he tells me. That's not the kind of life I'm talking about. The offer is being made to you. Three kinds of life. The first kind, new life. Open in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It's a very familiar verse and many of you know it by heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Are we talking about our Fords? I'm afraid not. We'll keep Chuck in business this week. Are we talking about our knees? I'm afraid not. What are we talking about? We're talking about things that really matter. Eternal things. Spiritual things. Who cares about a car that runs forever? After we die, we're going to be standing before the Lord. And we want for all things spiritual to have become new. Amen? If you've never come to the Lord before and given Him your life, there's a part of you that's dead. And for those of us who have come to the Lord and given Him our life, we know that there's a part of us that's alive. There's a part of us that before the Lord is exactly what God wants. What a wonderful thing. So you say, okay, that sounds great to me. How do I get in Christ? Well, that's really not the option. That's really not the issue here. The issue here is getting Christ in you. That's what this verse is talking about. And how do you do that? You do that by coming to the Lord and accepting a free gift that costs you everything. What does that mean? That means that the gift of salvation has been paid for. And we don't have a cross around back that if you want to come to the Lord, we take you back there and we nail you to it. How's that? That'd be one quick way to empty a church, huh? It'd be me and the worship band. It'd just be me up here. Okay. New life in Christ is being offered to us. You can have that this morning. The second kind of life is abundant life. Open your Bibles to John chapter 10 and verse number 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. I love this chapter. This chapter is about the shepherd loving and caring for his sheep. And I love studying about shepherds. The first part of John 10:10, the first half of the verse is actually written about our enemy, the devil. Listen, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When a rustler would come to a sheepfold to steal sheep, do you know that rustlers don't steal live sheep? Because they don't want to care for sheep. And so the thief would get inside the sheepfold and as quickly as possible kill as many of the sheep as they were able. And then they would throw the sheep over the wall outside where their accomplices would load them up and they would take away the dead bodies to sell for meat. Friend, that's the kind of life this world is offering. Have you noticed that everyone's your friend so long as you're giving them something? Did your phone ring even yesterday with people trying to get your money out of you? That's what this world is about. This world just wants to take advantage of you. But look at the last part of the verse. Jesus is speaking. He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Abundant life is the second kind of life I'm talking about. I love this word abundant. Do you know what it means? The word abundant means super. That's what it means. It means super. You say, I don't understand. Yeah, you do. I bet anything that you do. When you go to Jack in the Box, you order those lovely French fries. If you're like me, you're looking over your shoulder to see if your wife is looking. Just kidding, honey. And then they say, hey, Slim, you want to supersize these? And I'm thinking, for 39 cents, I can have like 1,000 more calories? Yeah! Supersize me. Same word. You ladies know what I'm talking about. Do you ladies want to go grocery shopping at a market or a supermarket? Huh? Right? You pick up the video, the dry cleaning, the Starbucks coffee. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. Guys, you want to go to a bowl game? Or you do want to go to the Super Bowl, huh? I know that you do. You single ladies out there, God bless you. It's tough, isn't it? Ladies, you single ladies out there, let me ask you a question. Are you looking for a man? Huh? Are you looking for Superman? Amen. I got a witness. Hey, you know what? You can have life. You could have 70 or 80 years here and die and split hell wide open. And that's life. Or you can have super life. Abundant life in Him. The life where the things that really matter are eternal. The Bible says that our life here is like steam. Have you ever seen steam so thick you can't see through it? When the source of that steam is removed, how long does that steam last? Not very long. And that's what this life is going to be like in eternity. You're in John chapter 10. Look at verse 28. I love this verse. This is Jesus talking about His sheep. And this is the third kind of life that's being offered. It's eternal life. John 10:28, Jesus says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Eternal life with Him. Perhaps you're here today and you say, I don't know. I'm troubled. This has been a tough time for me. This has been a tough year for me. I appreciate what you're saying, Pastor Tim, but I have troubles. Well, let me share a wonderful portion of Scripture with you. Just turn a few pages to John 14. John 14, and we'll start in the very first verse of that chapter. Jesus again is speaking, and He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And for some of you, even after hearing that, you say, "I just don't know. I have doubts." Aren't you glad that Doubting Thomas is in the Scriptures? For you doubters, you have a partner in doubt here. In the very next verse, look at it. Here's old Thomas, Doubting Thomas. And Thomas says to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where You are going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus answers him immediately in verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Me." The offer that still stands, it's heaven. The way is Jesus. The method is to confess to Him and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. It's in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if you believe in your heart, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Thou shalt be saved. And Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." If you're here this morning, and perhaps you know the Lord, and perhaps for whatever reason, you've strayed a little bit from Him. Sheep stray. It happens. Sheep just get out there and wander away from the shepherd. He wants you back this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning, and you haven't thought about the offer in quite a while. I want you to know that Jesus wants you to know His mercy still flows. In fact, you know what? The offer is so good, it's really best said with 20 voices. So choir, come back up here and help me. I need some help up here. Friend, if you're here this morning, I want you to know that the offer still stands.